Little Ones, the Sleep Manual Podcast.
Hi everyone and welcome to our podcast, The Sleep Manual. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Nikki.
And we are the OG creators of online sleep programs. Little Ones is the home of baby and toddler sleep solutions, and we absolutely love helping families regain their sleep. Visit us at our website, www.littleones.co, or find us on the App Store. Today, we are exploring the topic of nap transitions. Mm-hmm. Now, what on earth does that even mean, Nikki?
Well, I'll tell you this. When you think you have everything sorted with your little one's sleep, just when you think the naps are sorted, maybe the nights are starting to fall into place, you're like, yep, this is smooth sailing, and then bam, something happens. And, you know, our babies go through several times during the first few years where their nap structure needs to pretty dramatically change. And that is going to cause a massive upheaval to their sleep. So today that's what we're going to be exploring. The thing about that is knowing what is coming up means that you're forewarned. And as that saying goes, Amanda, forewarned is forearmed. So if you know what's ahead in the roadmap, you can kind of plan for it, and then hopefully it all runs a little bit smoother. So what we're going to look at today in this podcast is, what is a nap transition? When do they occur? Why that can be a tricky time for sleep? How do you know when your little one is ready to do a nap transition? How do you do the nap transitions? And our best tips for sailing through those nap transitions without too much upheaval to your little one's routine.
So when do nap transitions actually occur? The first one that you will find is around 6 months, and it can be anywhere between sort of 6 and 8 months. And that is when they're going from 3 really good consolidated naps down to 2 naps a day.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next transition will be around 15 months. They're going from 2 naps down to 1, and between sort of 2.5, 3, 3.5 years old, this is a bit of a tricky one. They go from 1 nap down to 0 naps. And I say that's tricky mostly for the parent because they don't get their toddler to sleep anymore.
And then once you lose that nap altogether, then it's a whole new world of parenting.
Then you've got an awake toddler all day.
Okay, so let's have a look at then why during nap transition it can be quite a tricky time for sleep. And it's realistically, when your little one is needing or going through a nap transition, it can affect their daytime sleep, it can affect their settling, and it can affect their nighttime sleep as well. So, I mean, the first thing about it is that a nap transition needs to happen because your little one has outgrown their sleep routine. So anytime there's a change to the routine, their sleep is going to take a bit of a hit because they just need to recalibrate a little bit in the new routine.
They've grown older. And they just don't need as much sleep during the day anymore. But there is definitely a transition with any change in routine, isn't there?
Yeah. And, you know, we generally find that what happens during a nap transition is, like Amanda said, they don't need as much sleep during the day, so they start needing more awake time. If they are still getting the same amount of sleep, even though they are now older, then it's definitely going to impact their nighttime sleep. So the sleep, like we said, needs to be recalibrated to a slightly different routine to suit the fact that your baby is now older and needs a slightly more mature nap pattern. So how do people know when their little one is ready for a nap transition? Like, I mean, we've given the ages, but how do you know that it's the right time for your little one?
Well, I think my children, there were a couple of things that were really obvious, and this generally happens to most babies, is the real obvious one is that they're starting to wake more overnight.
Mm-hmm.
They're either doing that sort of 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, or they're chopping off that nighttime sleep. And this is a real trap to that you don't want to get into, is they're waking early morning because they are just sleeping too much during the day, so they don't need that nighttime sleep anymore. The early morning though one, that's tricky to get rid of, so try not to fall into that trap. Another one that they'll do is they will start waking 45 minutes after bedtime, because they are actually treating that bedtime as a nap rather than nighttime sleep now. You know, they're just not tired enough to go to sleep
for the night. Yeah,
to go to sleep for the night. So
and also what we generally see is at bedtime is they just are really difficult to settle to sleep. So if your little one had previously been pretty easy to get to sleep for bedtime, and they're approaching or around one of these ages, then you probably, and they're being really difficult to settle at bedtime, then you really need to take a look at starting to work through that nap transition.
Another thing would be that nap that is about to be dropped is really hard to actually get your baby to have.
That's right.
You might have ended up, you know, I know that sometimes when they're going from 3 down to 2 naps, I used to really struggle to get them to sleep, even though I knew that they actually needed to have a sleep that day. So I would, inevitably go in the car or something for that nap just to make sure that they had it.
Or when your little one is still having 2 naps a day and you're dropping down to 1 nap, quite commonly that second midday nap is sabotaged. Because they've already had a sleep in the day. So, sabotaging of the other naps is also a really good sign that your little one is due for this nap transition. So, assuming our baby is the right age for these different transitions and we're starting to see the signs of it, how on earth do we actually do these nap transitions? But, I mean, I think if you are a first-time parent, you just probably don't know, well, you don't know what you don't know, right? And people might assume you just stop doing a nap altogether. Is it as simple as that, Amanda?
No, definitely not. I think that really we need to make sure that the first thing is that you have a really good nap structure in the first place.
Yes.
It's really obvious to see different different things happening during a day if you know that your baby usually would sleep and go to sleep really well here and suddenly they don't, or if they've been sleeping through the night and now all of a sudden for 3 or 4 days in a row they've woken at 2 o'clock in the morning, which is unusual for them. So I think that that's a really good place to start,
is have a really age appropriate nap structure in place.
Hold on, sorry, I'm just right. What does this
I'll
say?
I'll talk about this because I know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So the way that we like to structure our naps and the way that we've written it in our sleep programs is we started with the naps that a child needs when they're about to lose their naps altogether. So we looked at a 3-year-old. We went, okay, so this child's ideally having a nap around the middle of the day. We know that that's the nap that's going to stay the longest. So that's the nap that whatever, you know, age your baby is at the start, they're going to keep this nap the longest. So we don't want to move that nap until we absolutely have to. So we aim always right from the start, right from very young, for a really long restorative sort of 2-hour sleep across the middle of the day. And then when you have that locked in, you have that good nap in place, we put the other naps on either side of it so that, you know, you sort of, our nap structure with little ones is if your baby's still on 3 naps, it's a shorter nap in the morning. It's that long long nap in the middle of the day, and then it's a shorter nap in the late afternoon. So, of course, that late afternoon nap is the one that vanishes first. You're still left with the other two. The morning nap is the next one to go. You're still left with that lunchtime sleep. And then that's the last one to go. So like Amanda said, having a really good nap structure like that in the first place makes everything so much easier, because you're just tweaking. You're not restructuring every single nap every time, which is way harder on your baby's circadian rhythm than doing it this way. So if we look at that three naps to two, Amanda, what's your advice around getting rid of that late afternoon nap?
So I think three to two, that's sort of, it's not actually too hard to do this transition.
That's actually probably the easiest one, to be honest.
Yeah, it probably is. So from three down to two naps, we would shorten that late afternoon nap. Maybe it was 45 minutes, then it would sort of shorten down to half an hour, and then it would shorten down to, you'd notice that, you know, your baby is getting harder to go to sleep at that 5 o'clock, at, you know, 4:30 to 5 o'clock sort of time. So they would maybe go down to 20 minutes. And I think the first thing that I would do is, if the baby is younger than 6 months, I would still almost force a nap there, because otherwise they're just too young to get right through till bedtime.
Yeah.
So whether you have to go for a drive, or I used to take my children out for a walk in the pram or something, just to make sure that they had that nap.
I used to put the littlest one in a baby sling or carrier.
Yeah.
And just wear her while I was cooking dinner for the other kids. So whatever you can do to get your baby to sleep if they're under 6 months, try. Even if it's only a 10, 15 minute nap, it's enough usually to tide them through until bedtime.
Yeah, so sometimes it might even get right down to 10 minutes, and you may notice that you actually have to wake them, because otherwise if they do go to sleep, then they might be asleep for an hour and a half or something, and unknowingly that's then going to stuff up your nighttime. So
massively stuff up your nighttime.
Yeah. So I think get it down to about 10 minutes, and then once they're over 6 months, you can just ditch it altogether, but make sure you bring that bedtime forward. And now with all nap transitions, it's not a, you know, they're 6 months and that third nap is gone
forever. That's it.
Forever. I think this is probably the quickest transition, and you'll hear as we go on that the transition is longer as they get older. But, you know, some days they might still need to have a 15, 20 minute nap there just to catch up, because they are, you know, still recalibrating that sleep. They are still getting older.
And also if for whatever reason they haven't napped well during that day with their other naps, you know, sometimes you have to throw that nap back in, otherwise they're going to be so overtired come bedtime, and then that's going to impact everything.
For sure. So, it's actually a really awesome time to, if something does happen, like Nikki said, you know, if they woke early at lunchtime or whatever, awesome to be able to just pop that third nap back in to be able to catch up. So then the 2-to-1 nap transition. We would leave that lunchtime, as Nikki said, leave that lunchtime nap there and shorten the morning nap. Now this is actually a bit of a, like, different sleep programs do it a different way, but the reason we keep that lunchtime nap there is because, as Nikki said, it stays there for the whole time. And also we know that people have more than one child. So if you've got an older toddler, they're still having a nap, then they'll be sleeping in the middle of the day. So having the baby down as well at the same time is great.
It's so good.
Some programs will have the longer morning nap. So just depends on how you're doing it. But we have that lunchtime nap and we shorten the morning nap.
That's over quite a longer period. You know, realistically, you're shortening that morning nap sort of for quite a few months in the lead up to this nap transition. Like by the time a sort of 12 to 15 month old is ready for this transition, they're probably only having a sort of half hour, 20 minute Next. Morning nap anyway. Yeah. Yeah. So again, we're shortening that in response to them not sleeping so well in their lunchtime sleep. Maybe they start taking a lot longer to fall asleep for that lunchtime sleep. Or maybe they've even started waking earlier in the morning because they know they need some more awake time before they get that longer morning nap. By shortening the morning nap, that's going to help resolve that early morning wake as well.
And it sort of protects us against having an early morning wake as well, because the baby knows that they actually don't get to catch up at the first nap of the day. So they will sort of unknowingly have to sleep through the morning
later in the morning
to get through the day. So then the next nap would be the 1-0 transition, and this can happen over, I feel like it's even honestly, like 6 months sometimes.
Yeah, it's somewhere after two.
Or even
two,
a year.
Yeah, after.
I don't know.
Between the age of 2 and 3, really. I mean, closer to 3 years old. And this is the thing is, there's other things that occur during this period. There's separation anxiety peaks just before your little one turns two. There's a whole lot of developmental stuff. There's nap refusals that are going to be happening before this. We would never, ever, ever suggest to anyone that their baby completely drops a nap until they are as close to three as they can get.
I think
they just need that sleep.
They do. But if you are genuinely, if you know, you're offering the sleep and they're at least having some rest, and they're not quite three yet, then fantastic.
Oh, yeah, of course, but not in an 18-month-old.
No.
Or just turned two.
Yeah, I think they'll definitely start trying to refuse naps, but I think as they get older, they'll almost know. Like, if they're in a good routine, they'll know when they're tired. And
yeah,
both
right.
of our children used to go and get their comforter and take and say, I need to have a nap and go and lie down, because they just knew that they were tired.
Right.
So this one can happen over a long period. And this transition, it may only be one sleep cycle when it's starting to reduce. So you may be down to 45 minutes, even half an hour down.
So yeah, and so then, so we are, the goal here is to reduce the lunchtime sleep.
Yeah.
The same as we did with the other naps.
And I think too, some children will want to go to sleep. If they do go to sleep, they'll be so deep in a sleep that they'll want to try and sleep for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But if that is sabotaging the nighttime or your bedtime or early waking, as we said before, you're going to want to shorten it down.
Yeah.
So,
I'll just say here, very commonly we have questions, comments, our sleep consultants get asked all the time. We see it on our social channels. Oh, my, you know, 2.5-year-old, my 3-year-old is napping really well in the day, having a great nap, but then they're fluffing around at bedtime. It's taking them 2 hours to go to sleep, where they used to go to sleep at 7 or whatever. And what do I do? And, you know, it's just so classic. You've got to start reducing that nap, because that is exactly what will happen. I think because that nap is so precious to us as parents, especially when you've got a toddler, because they are just chaotic energy nonstop, especially if you have more than one child, you just want to hold on to that nap as long as you can. But there comes a time when we have to take the plunge and go, okay, it's horrific, but we've got to start losing that nap. And you'll definitely, definitely, definitely see a big improvement to that bedtime settling. So we generally would say, over the course of several months, just reduce it until bedtime's fine. And then when bedtime takes a hit, reduce it again.
So, and even when you do actually completely manage to go through a day without having a nap, that's not the be all and end all.
No, it's not gone
forever.
It
doesn't mean that nap is now gone forever. So you'll probably notice that, especially if they're going to daycare or kindy or something, they may have a nap at home, but they may not when they're going to daycare. Or or the opposite. Sometimes they'll have rest time at daycare, and then when they're at home, they're less energetic. They don't need the nap when they're at home. So it might mean for a couple of weeks or even a month or so that you're only not having a nap every, I don't know, twice a week or something. And then it might be every second day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the nap might only be sort of 2 times in a week. And the majority of the time that your child is not having naps now. So that nap definitely takes
not
a while.
It's not in one hit. Doesn't happen in one go.
No.
You'll have periods where maybe your little one hasn't napped for a week, but then maybe you have a really busy weekend and they have a bad night's sleep, and sometimes you just have to bring it in again, or the dreaded falling asleep in the car.
Oh gosh, at like 5 o'clock.
Oh, this is the absolute worst, because during this transition, your little one is going to be a bit grumpier than usual. You know, they are, their sleep is recalibrating. They're catching up. They're trying to get used to being awake all day long. And
on the flip side, though, some people might find that their child's actually better behaved because they're actually not as high energy because they haven't slept, you know, 2-3 hours or whatever during the day anymore. So that they don't have as much energy.
But yeah, the worst is then if you're going for a trip of anything longer than sort of 20 minutes in the car in the late afternoon. I remember just trying to avoid that altogether during that initial transition period, because you just know that they're going to fall asleep in the car. And then any amount of sleep at that time, and my younger two were the worst at this. If my son slept for like 10 minutes in the car at that age, at like say 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he wouldn't fall asleep till 9 o'clock that night. It was so bad.
Yeah.
And this is a hard transition, this one.
And that 10 minutes has just sabotaged your whole... That 10 minutes of sleep
has cost him 2 hours.
2 hours, yeah. You're missing now 2 hours of nighttime sleep.
The thing we really need to make sure we make perfectly clear as well is during these nap transition times, you really ought to be bringing their bedtime earlier.
Yeah.
Just to help compensate for that. So even in that transition at sort of 15 months where they go from two naps down to one, it might be that you have to bring that lunch sleep a tiny bit earlier during the initial stage of that transition. So maybe they're sleeping, say, 12 till 2 instead of 12:30 till 2:30, you know, but definitely bring bedtime even just half an hour earlier, because and slightly earlier bedtime is going to do wonders for staving off that overtiredness. It's unfair to expect your child to suddenly lose a nap and continue through to their normal bedtime, certainly in the early stages of that transition.
All right, so our best tips, Nikki. What are our best tips to get us through these transitions with being smooth sailing? I don't think any nap transition is ever smooth sailing.
But we can do our best.
Have a look at our...
My first one would definitely be to just... knowledge is power. So educate yourself on what your little one's nap structure should look like now and what the new one should be. So you know exactly what you're walking into instead of just waiting for it all to hit the fan, so to speak, and then go, oh, what do I do now? Educate yourself. Obviously, we are here to help, and inside our app, you can find all of these, the ideal routines and everything all completely mapped out for you. So that definitely makes it all so much easier.
Yeah, and you can skip forward and have a look at what you're aiming for eventually and what sort of age range you're looking at having that transition over. The next thing I think would be patient with your little one as they adapt to their new nap structure. There is definitely, it's not a... just all of a sudden they're 6 months, that means two naps now. It's definitely some days there will be a nap. Some days the nap will be longer, even though it used to only be 10 minutes. Or, you know, sometimes it will be gone altogether. There's definitely also going to be off days.
Yes.
Days where nothing seems to go to the plan, especially with a toddler. No. And if they are trying to go down to no naps, that is...
And they haven't ruined it all if you have these off days. You just restart tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. That's the best thing with kids. You just restart again tomorrow.
The key thing, though, during this time is to make sure that no new sleep habits come creeping in. And we're talking about those sleep habits where you're kind of setting yourself up to continue doing something for an extended period of time. So if... you know, when your little one starts to resist bedtime in the evening and you're desperate to get them to sleep, and so you start rocking them to sleep, even though they were falling asleep by themselves previously. Yep. And, you know, that's actually an indication that they're needing to go through one of these nap transitions anyway. But the risk is that, you know, we're trying so hard to help them fall asleep that we start getting these new sleep habits set up. And at these ages, 6 months onwards, any sleep habits are going to happen and be locked in pretty quickly. and they're going to be a bit more challenging to break. So,
but the good news is generally if your baby was sleeping pretty well prior to the transition, if you did end up having to break a habit that you've inadvertently added in, they will know how to go back to sleep and do it themselves mm-hmm. again. Like, it's not something that they've just forgotten how to do.
Yeah, that's right. So,
yeah.
Well, I think that pretty much sums it all up, Amanda, in terms of nap transitions. I hope you have some great takeaways from this podcast, and that we've been able to help if you think your little one might be needing a bit of a change to their nap structure. Thank you so much for listening and being here with us today. Don't forget to listen to our other podcasts for lots more sleep advice. And of course, visit our website, www.littleones.co. Find us on the App Store and join us on all our social channels. We would love to see you everywhere all at once. Thanks very much, and we'll talk to you again soon. This is Little Ones, the Sleep Manual Podcast.